Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Every like a and dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today, and
yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The famous actor that you could just watch play the same role again and again and again. That's Chad Ekowitz.
And that's Simone LaRue speaking the truth.
God.
And oh boy, do we watch them again and again and again. You know, typecasting is a very bad thing, Simone.
I would love to see, like, data on how many, mm-hmm. like, at what point do you reach critical mass? Like, at what point do people right. get tired of what you're
mm-hmm.
doing?
Mm-hmm. I think they called it, the original name for it was, like, Schwimmer fatigue, after David Schwimmer from Friends, which I completely
yeah,
agree
I
with,
can get
to
behind
be fair,
that.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I wonder if any of the other friends from Friends were just like, you know what, dude? We don't want to be friends with you anymore. You're an exhausting presence.
Oh, shame. I don't know what he's like in real life. Is he quite an asshole?
Mm-hmm.
Famous?
I don't actually know. I don't know. I've never heard of Schwimmer being sort of like mean or anything. But then again, I mean, I don't follow the tabloids.
Yeah. So who's to say?
But he did that really funny cameo in 30 Rock as Greenzo, which was hella amusing. That was
that like was everyone's done a wonderful. Funny cameo in 30 Rock, though.
That's very true. And very much like the funny cameos in 30 Rock, which everyone has done, it would seem that everyone is now involved in the Marvel Universe, which brings us onto one of the films that we are doing today, which is what, Simone?
Eternals. Guys, we're doing it. We watched it. I have a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yes. And like, just bigger picture implications more than anything.
I have thoughts, and they're all very confused, because I really wanted to like it, and I did like some
okay.
of it. And that's, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll
What's
get
the
into
other
it.
Movie we're doing?
We will be doing Red Notice, which was more apropos of Simone's spectacular intro, where it is The Rock being The Rock. It is Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds. And to be fair, Gal Gadot just slays it. I mean, she is, whatever she's in, she's just incredible.
She's
so,
fine.
I mean, she
whatever.
Doesn't apply. Yeah. But we'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. Yeah. So what are you drinking today? Let's decide an order.
I'm having a nice crisp white wine. It's very summery outside.
Wine.
Sat with my feet in the pool earlier. Just living my best
dream.
Summer life. I just bought a big floppy sun hat.
Wow, she's really going for it. Now, Simone, I think the most serious and honest question that I need to ask you this podcast, and I really want you to consider this, digest it, like really feel it in your soul.
Okay.
Is this going to be your hot girl summer?
Chad, I know it's going to be my hot girl summer. Because, can I actually tell you, I've had a bit of an awakening. People who want to hear the Red Notice and Eternals review are just like, fuck, shut up. But I'll be very quick. I just decided, I looked up, I was like, I'm 28, I'm pretty cute, but I act like someone who's not pretty cute. Like, I dress like a librarian. And I was like, okay, but what if I dressed like a hot girl? So I have bought some hot girl clothes.
Wow.
And I will be doing hot girl shit.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
That's fantastic. So when I try to phone you, all I'm going to get is, sorry, I'm busy right now doing
hot
girl shit.
Exactly.
And then you hanging up the phone.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's why
cool.
I've started a pole class. That's why I've started an aerial hoop class. Hot girl
shit. Yeah, this is badass.
Yeah.
Hot girl shit. Good on you.
Thanks.
What a year. This is going to be a wonderful summer for you.
Thanks.
I'm so excited.
Summer, a famously bad
That's
time
grand.
To pick up a sport where you not sweating helps.
That's why they created the powder, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's
there's
why
a lot
you
of chalk involved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, that's what I've actually heard, is that at strip clubs, the white powder that you find everywhere is chalk.
Oh,
That's what my parents told me.
You know what? I think they're right. I personally have needed a lot of chalk, and I've had to buy motion sickness tablets because I'm ancient.
Oh my god, Simone. Okay, I love like hot girl summer, like it was your anthem, you were there.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh,
you
know, I had to
then
buy
you just
pills because my tummy gets sore.
Next year, we're like wearing goggles just so the sweat doesn't get in your eyes when you're upside down.
If only.
It's not far off.
What are you drinking? Going into your sad girl autumn.
My sad girl autumn. Yes. Well, Taylor's come out with Red, her version. Mm-hmm. And so it's perfect time to go into a sad girl autumn.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. Painting my nails black.
Oh.
Just auburn colors in my hair.
Love that.
Just,
love
yeah,
it for you.
Yeah. Lots of big comfy socks and candles.
Love
and I'm
it.
So ready for it.
It's yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
It's going to be incredible. But yes, so going into my sad girl autumn, you need sort of deeper brown ales, as it were. So I'm drinking an IPA. It's a Shepherd Neame & Co. Faversham Brewery. And Faversham is in Kent.
Okay.
Just for a geographical knowledge base for everyone. It's quite nice. It's very strong. I did not see that it was 6.1%
that is
when I
strong.
Picked this up today. So I have not eaten lunch, so this might go very haywire.
Oh, boy.
I just want you to be aware, like, now. That this could go very wrong. But it's quite nice. It's a little bit bitter. More bitter than I'm used to with a pale ale, but still right. very tasty.
That's why I don't really like pale ales. I can't do super bitter beers. I have to draw a line mm-hmm. somewhere.
I think I do like a pale ale because it just feels like, you know, a wonderful, refreshing breath, usually. But this is quite a bitter pale ale. Mm. And it's yeah. But look, it's tasty. I'm going to drink it.
If you say so.
I bought it, so, yeah. But I do mean that I do believe that means you go first with
yes.
your white girl wine.
Excellent. So, guys, I'm going to give you a very approximate synopsis of The Eternals. Obviously, spoiler alert, guys. Like, I know that these are new movies, but we are a movie review podcast. So if you don't want spoilers,
yes.
don't listen. Eternals are sent to different planets to fight things called deviants. Deviants wreak havoc on whatever planet they're on. The job of the Eternals is to banish them, destroy them, and then help life on that planet flourish in a variety of ways. They have lots of different skills among them, but they basically help humans, like, they defend them from the deviant creature things, and they, like, give them technology. They, like, help them with, like, stories and religion and histories and, like, building and stuff and agriculture, I guess. And then, like, sort of grow with that population through time. So we're following the group of Eternals that came to Earth all the way in 5000 BC. They are Circe, played by Gemma Chan, Icarus, played by Richard Madden, Athena, played by Angelina Jolie. They are led by Ajak, played by Salma Hayek. There's Kingo, played by Kumail Nanjiani. Fastus, played by Brian Tyree Henry. Sprite, an Eternal Child, played by Leah McHugh. Makari, a deaf Eternal, very cool, played by Lauren Ridloff. Druig, he can control people, played by Barry Keoghan. Oh, there are so many of them. I'm very tired.
There are all the Eternals.
There's Gilgamesh, played by Ma Dong-seok, or also as Don Lee. I think that's all of them.
I mean, it sounds about right. You know, if you've missed one, you've missed one, really. There were just so many.
There were a lot. But basically, yeah, Icarus and Circe fall in love. Icarus is very, like, he's, like, a very focused guy. He's like, oh, I have to stay on mission. And he's very loyal to Ajak. Eventually, they reach a point where they're, like, as a group, they kind of fracture. And Ajak is like, listen, you guys all go off, do your own things. Keep helping humanity in whatever way, like, feels right to you. And then, like, when we get back together again, you can tell me, like, what you've learned about yourself. And that'll be really cool. So they go off. We come to present day, basically, where unfortunately Circe and Icarus have broken up. It is awkward, but Circe is dating a very cute Dane Whitman, played by Kit Harington. And things seem to be pretty good until she gets attacked by a deviant, which they thought they'd wiped out, in the middle of the city. They're like, oh no, things are not going well. She seeks out Ajak. Oh shit, Ajak is dead. And Ajak passes on her, like, leadership role to Circe through, like, cosmic magic. Like, don't think about it. Circe finally, like, they meet up with other members of the team again. They're like, oh, deviants are back. What are we going to do? And then eventually, finally, Circe, like, gets in touch with the big guy, Asharis? Something like that?
Something like that. I can't remember the names. But, yeah,
The giant guy.
Giant god guy.
Creator of all life. And she's like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, no, no. The Earth was an incubator for one of the celestial beings that helps, like, create the universe. And basically your job was to help get the population, and like, sentient and intelligent enough that the celestial could feed off of it and, like, burst out of the Earth like an egg. So she's like, oh, so you mean, like, the whole planet's going to be destroyed? And he's like, yeah. And the, all of the Eternals have grown to really like the Earth. So they're like, oh, we should not let this happen. Sort of shenanigans ensue while the team reunites. They all feel some kind of way about humanity. But it turns out that Icarus knew all along, because Ajax had told him. And then when Ajax was like, listen, I think we should stop it from happening, he killed her. It's awkward. So now he's trying to stop the rest of the team. And Sprite, who secretly had a crush on him the whole time, is also trying to help. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they figure out that the best way is for Cersei, whose power is to turn things into other things, basically.
Yeah, there's no
for her to turn this thing into, like, stone so that it can't, you know, emerge. There's a big fight, but she eventually gets it right. Icarus feels so guilty about his role in almost destroying the Earth that he flies into the sun. She helps turn Sprite into a human, because that's all Sprite wants, because she's sick of being an eternal child. And then the big guy upstairs comes down. He's like, that was very bad. Prepare for war. And that's the end.
Yeah, the end. And so what is your cliffhanger for this one?
Oh, it's actually going to be, like, low-key. It's actually my favorite scene. I think it's really well done. It's this one.
I did this. If my technology hadn't helped them advance. Joey was right. Our mission was a mistake. These people, they're not worth saving.
Fastos.
They're not worth saving.
And it is when Fastos is at the site of Hiroshima, and he's crying. And
okay,
I think this movie has a lot of flaws, but I think what it does really well is show, like, the struggle of these, like, eternal creatures and, like, how much they help humanity and, like, what that means and what that looks like and how much they're to blame and how much humanity's to blame and is humanity worth caring for and helping and saving. And I thought that scene especially was incredibly poignant and beautiful. And I think, like, it made it a really interesting movie that they asked these questions. I think the Marvel Universe has sort of consistently been, like, about, like, fun and action and heroes, which isn't a bad thing, but you don't have a lot of these heroes, like, critically question their role in, like, the larger scheme of things, or critically question. I mean, I know Iron Man, like, goes through a whole thing, like, I know.
Yeah, but it's like 3 minutes of the film, where this one is, like, it's the whole thing. Yeah. It's just a real, like, good deep dive into sort of the interrelationships between these essentially gods.
Yeah, exactly.
And the humans that they're destined to protect. And I think that you're absolutely right. And I would say that, yeah, it's such a contrast from your sort of standard Marvel movies. In a way, like, I think the best way to describe this movie is that it's very elegant.
Yeah.
I feel this movie is incredibly intricate and elegant. Yes, it has its flaws, and there are sort of, it forgets that it's within the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to cause a lot of problems in the long run. But I think, you know, as a standalone film, very elegant.
Yeah.
It was pretty as well. Yeah, like, it was beautiful. I really enjoyed the visuals of this.
Yeah.
Like, I was constantly looking at their costumes and things and being like, damn, This is really good. Yeah. Like, you guys did an amazing job.
I think if I had to describe the movie in one word, it would be thoughtful. I think it was a very thoughtful movie. And I think, like, the director could have very easily taken the easy Marvel way out of this and done a very stock standard story. Oh, ancient beings, they think they've wiped out the big bad. Oh no, they haven't. They have to fight their leader, and now they've saved humanity, and it's done. Yay! And Kamal Nanjiani cracks a bunch of jokes. And I like that she, like, took a step back and she was like, isn't the more interesting story the fact that they've lived for so long and seen humanity through so many different ages and they still want to protect it? And I thought, like, that was incredibly cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the fact that they were all sort of, you know, had their own minds. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was a it was really, really cool to see sort of the different shades that they had towards humanity. Sort of, you know, the guy who could control minds and things, he was so done with humanity and their wars and shit. So he just like disappeared off into the Amazon rainforest. And then you got those who still love humanity and believe in it. And then, you know, you've got what's his name? You mentioned him as your as your clip hanger.
Fastus.
What's his name? Fastus, who like loves humanity and like really wants to just help them grow and things and like do this, but is also like ashamed of himself and by proxy them. And it's really like it's such a delicate movie because there's so many things to balance, and to do that with all of the characters, because they've all got their individual personalities. It's not like any one of them is left out.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do that in a single movie is what DC tried to do over many movies and continuously failed.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive that they were able to do this.
Yeah. I would also add, and I don't want to take credit for this because I think I read a tweet about it somewhere, but like the camaraderie and relationships between the Eternals are already 10 times more interesting and deeper than the relationships between the standard Avengers.
Absolutely.
With the Avengers, you always get the impression they're not friends, they're colleagues, they kind of work together and they'll like help each other out to save the world, but like they're not... They haven't really bonded in any, like, significant way, most of them. Obviously, like, you have, like, the romances and the besties and stuff. But, like, for the most part, there's no, like, group camaraderie. Whereas, like, with the Eternals, like, straight off the bat, you get the idea that they all, like, feel bonded by, like, their mutual experience of humanity. Like, however much they argue, they're, like... I don't know. I thought it was cool. I liked that what's-his-face Gilgamesh looks after Thena and, like, helps her. And it's not a romance thing at all. He just, like... cares for her and wants to look out for her and like I loved that. And the Makari and the other the mind reader guy, like that they have kind of like a fun bantery relationship. And I'm also I'm not a big romantic, but one of my favorite tropes of all time is love across the ages, just like people who are like soulmates and like keep finding each other over and over again through like different lifetimes, like
Oh, Simone, it's my favorite trope.
I love it so much.
That's so wonderful. I love it. Oh, how cute are you? Yeah. That really surprises me. I'm so glad.
I love it. I think it's so romantic and so sweet. God, is there a more beautiful couple in this world? I don't think so.
No. No, that is true. They are a power couple and they're completely fictional and they're just so wonderful. Yeah. And then like even with Sprite and her whole journey and, you know, dealing with everything and it's so wonderful to watch these people. Like, I think, you know, we say this all the time, but it would have worked as a series. Like, it worked as a movie. I'm not disputing the fact that it worked as a movie, and there will be sequels. Like, it's very obvious there will be sequels, but it's the fact that like this could have also worked as a series. Yeah. It wouldn't have necessarily worked better because you do fall in love with every single one of these characters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even Kumail Nanjiani's character,
so funny.
Like he's just wonderful and funny and just also very thoughtful. Like it's not just him, you know, pissing about and taking jokes
being
all the time.
Vain.
Like, he goes to India and he goes to Hollywood, Bollywood, because of his love of the dance and the intricacy of like their sort of system. And it's not just like a thing for, you know, comedic value. And that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's even surprising in that he's like, listen, I'm actually not going to help you destroy this celestial. Like, I'm not going to stop you, but like, I actually believe that it's right what's happening, as sad as I am, which was like so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, like they really thought this movie through. They really did. I definitely think it's a grown-up movie. And I can imagine that is why some people might dislike it, is because it is so devoid of everything Marvel has done in the past.
I think the thing that this movie suffers from is the expectation that it's a Marvel movie.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I think both of us, when we saw the trailer for the first time, were just like, how is this going to fit? Yeah, and it really, I mean, you know, unabashedly, it doesn't fit.
Mm-mm.
But it's still perfect. It's still really
lovely. I really like it.
And I think that is one of the problems, is how they, like, and this was my big issue with this film, is how are they going to fit it into the Marvel Universe? We've got the multiverse coming with Spider-Man in, like, literally a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, how is a giant fucking being coming out of the earth gonna fit in with that story? Because they have to include it because it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm just very confused on how they're gonna fit this all together.
Yeah, as well. I'm intrigued. I'm interested. I liked like the little references they made along the way to different Avengers. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. But I'm interested to see how it slots into the bigger scheme of things, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why else do you think that this movie did not do super well?
I think it was quite long.
It was long.
I think it was a little bit, the pacing of it all and the overall sort of premise feels so overdone at this point, you know? Like, the Avengers saved the universe. It was a lot more sort of low scale because it was very like, oh, we're saving the universe, but it is very much centered around Earth. Whereas this one was, we are actually, you know, saving the universe, kind of, but also saving the Earth. And so when you've done that, you know, time and time again, movie by movie by movie, it kind of just loses the gravitas of what you're trying to do. So I think people were like, oh, okay, well, the stakes just aren't high enough for me anymore. I just can't deal with this because it's just meh. How about you? Why do you think?
I think it like it suffered from like being part Marvel movie, part something like interesting and new, and ended up like not quite being either.
Yeah.
I definitely that it was a fresh take on a pretty old premise. There's a lot that I enjoy about this, but I think like
it
either has to be one or the other. I don't know if I don't know if the MCU is the best place to tell this story.
Absolutely. You know, do like Venom does and do like a Sony
standalone
sort of or like create another studio. Mm. Disney has the money.
Yeah. And I agree, the pacing was a little bit like, ugh, okay, and now we're doing this, and now we're going here, and now we're having this flashback, and now we're going here. Was a
lot. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, golden nugget for this one?
This is probably going to sound a little SJW, but I really did enjoy the diversity. I didn't think it was shoehorned in. Like, everybody was just, they were as they were. But it was, like, fantastic to see someone who's, like, hearing impaired. And so, like, I mean, the wide range of different races. Like, the fact that there's a gay character in the MCU was pretty wild. They don't usually do that so upfront.
Yeah, Disney must have been really, you know, battling with his internal grumbles about that one.
He kissed his husband in the movie.
On screen.
Kissed his husband on screen. I was like, I thought they were going to cut away, or I thought they were going to do, like, the standard thing that they do with gay couples where they're just, like, they're gay, but they don't, like, touch. and no, that did not happen.
No, they went full. Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, I just thought all of it, I just thought it was so cool to see, like, so many different kinds of humans represented on screen in the Eternals.
Absolutely.
It was a delight. It was really lovely. And I actually liked this movie.
Yeah, it was good fun. Like, we'll get to this, but, you know, would I watch it again? Probably not, just because of the length.
Yeah.
More than anything.
That's a long movie.
It's just because it is so long. Like, if it was a bit shorter, I would definitely watch this again without a question. If they made, like, an abridged version, I would totally be in that.
I think I would skip through to particular scenes. I'd probably skip all of, like, let's be honest, I'd skip the more Marvel-y scenes and just go with, like, their flashbacks of them, like, being immortal people.
Yeah, Athena, like, dealing with her shit would be really fun.
She was so cool.
Revisit. Yeah.
And Gilgamesh with his pie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that was probably my golden nugget, is, like, the relationships between the characters.
Yeah.
You know, there's this rich history that doesn't feel like, because it's in a two-hour movie, you missed.
Yeah.
You know, the characters really express their sort of love, hate, and complex feelings for the other characters very well in a two-hour span. You don't have to sort of know the lore behind each of the Eternals to understand where they're coming from, and I think that's bloody fantastic.
Yeah.
That's definitely my golden
nugget. I think it's some of the best characterization we've seen in, especially, like, an ensemble movie like that. It's not an origin movie. Like, it's an ensemble.
Yeah, exactly.
It was incredible. Like, I really hope that Marvel doesn't get discouraged by how this movie did. Because it was interesting. Like, it was so much, like, I'm bored of Marvel movies. I'm bored of them,
to be
totally honest. It was so nice to see, like, a fresh, new perspective on, like, powerful people.
Absolutely. You're so right. I think my big worry is, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this was directed by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am really worried because this is exactly what big studios do. They go, this is a minor project that we don't care about, so let's give it to a woman to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does badly, because it is a minor project and something really fucking hard to get off the ground, they go, it's the woman's fault and not the fact that it was a minor project, and then they don't offer more opportunities, and that is what I'm scared about for the second one.
I will say that Zack Snyder has tried and tried again to look at the nature of power and examine the psychological side, but also Zack Snyder does not have an empathetic bone in his body, so he's like, wouldn't it be hard to be very powerful but also not hard at all? And then you have to watch him have a wank on screen for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see someone actually do it well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Like, just give them another chance. They did a fucking good job.
Please.
Give them something bigger. Like, they've proved themselves. Like, fuck it. Just do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Do it. So I've said if I'd watch this movie again. Would you watch it again?
Yeah. Like I said, though, I think I'd skip through to the scenes I really enjoyed and skip out all the marvelness of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It's worth watching for the first time, definitely. It's a good fun film, and
beautiful.
You won't regret it. You definitely won't regret it.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast! My name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arr.
So, let's talk about Netflix's number one watched movie on opening week. Doesn't mean it's good.
Doesn't mean it's good.
So, you have, in the opening scenes, Inspector Uvashi Das, played by Ritu Arya, and John Hartley, played by Dwayne Johnson. Inspector Das is part of Interpol, and she's getting help from John Hartley, who is sort of like this... sort of black letter unknown agency member who has gotten a tip off from the bishop, who we will find out is played by Gal Gadot, that another thief, the most famous art thief in the world, Nolan Booth, played by Ryan Reynolds, will be going and stealing one of Cleopatra's eggs this very day. The history behind Cleopatra's eggs is that when Anthony and Cleopatra were doing their rendezvous, Anthony gave Cleopatra 3 beautiful, ornate golden eggs. 2 of them still are known and exhibited throughout the world today, where the third one has unfortunately gone missing. The first egg is held in a museum, I think in Italy. I can't remember quite.
Yeah.
Then the second one is held by a private buyer. So Nolan and Inspector Das go to the museum to go and check whether Nolan Booth has stolen the egg, and he has, surprise, surprise, but he is still in the building. This results in a chase between Nolan Booth and John Hartley. They run around the museum, shenanigans, breaking stuff. That's when Inspector Das realizes that, you know, everything with John Hartley isn't sort of, you know, 100%, you know, no one knows what agency he's from. He got this tip from another art thief, the bishop, you know, and also there has a... payment delivered to a Swiss bank account for $8 million in his name just the other day. Also at this time, the egg goes missing because as they're securing the egg, the bishop sneaks in and steals it right under John Hartley's nose. So now John Hartley is on the run with Nolan Booth, because they are sort of together and sort of, you know, unlikely friends. They get they end up in prison together. That's what happens.
Yes, Russian prison.
So Russian prison together, and they decide that they're going to work together to break out and find this egg, because essentially Nolan Booth reveals that his plan is that he will get a $300 million payout if he is able to get the first egg and the second egg to another buyer, as well as the third egg. Obviously, it's gone missing. John Hartley's like, this seems a bit weird. How are you going to find it? But apparently, Booth knows exactly where the egg is. The third egg is. So they decide to team up. That way, John Hartley can clear his name. Nolan Booth can get paid. And they can all ride off into the sunset. Lots of shenanigans ensue. Eventually, the bishop reveals herself. And it is Gal Gadot. They sort of have this big sort of three-way fight between all of them to get the second egg. To get the first egg, which is owned by a little man named... Sottovoce, played by Chris Diamantopoulos. That is a surname. So they're able to steal the egg. More shenanigans ensue. Booth reveals to Hartley where the third egg is, which is in Argentina. They go, and it's in essentially an underground Nazi bunker that was, you know, during Nazi times, they moved all of their stuff, their secret stuff, to an underground bunker in Argentina.
Many of them are still in Argentina to this day.
Many of them are still in Argentina to this day, guys. Nolan Booth and John Hartley go off to Argentina. They find the egg, and that's where we learn that they were John Hartley double-crossed Nolan Booth. Spoilers, obviously. Sorry, I should have probably put that beforehand.
It's all spoilers,
beforehand.
Guys.
But, guys, come on. Like, I'm not... You know what? Watch the movie. It's apparently the most watched thing on Netflix.
Yeah, so you've probably seen it. Podcast, statistically, you've probably watched it.
Yeah, you've probably seen it. You've probably seen it. So, it turns out that actually, John Hartley has been working with the bishop the whole time. They are actually in a relationship. Can you believe it?
What?
John Hartley Nolan Booth feels very betrayed by this. John Hartley and the bishop go off and deliver the two eggs to the buyer who actually owned the second egg originally. So it was all fine and hunky-dory and it was all good. That's when they double-cross the billionaire. So they've got their payment, they've now, you know, sold the eggs off, they've also, you know, got the rich billionaire arrested and everything, and now they're sailing away on a boat and they're all happy, hunky-dory. That's when Nolan Booth pops back up and he's like, yo, I've alerted Interpol, they're coming to get you unless you join me for another super-duper heist. We're all gonna work together this time and it's gonna be great. And get ready for Red Notice 2,
which brings
guys,
us to the part
end.
Where
your
you...
Oh, you sound so very sad.
Third egg. I'm tired. I watched this movie and I was tired.
I don't blame you, Simone. So my cliffhanger has to be this one.
Piss off for 1,000 years.
Ah, oh, bummer. I really wanted to do it the easy way. That's okay. I'll get the information from you by hurting him.
I'm sorry, what?
I love this plan.
You two share a special bond. Otherwise, why would you risk your lives together attempting to steal the egg? Isn't that right, Agent Hartley?
There is no bond between us. I barely know the guy. Booth, tell her we're not friends.
She knows about us, pal.
That's bullshit.
She knows about our special bond. She knows that you were the best man at my wedding.
Son of a bitch, he's lying.
If she hurts you bad enough, I mean, if he gets really creative with it, I'm gonna have no choice but to tell her everything.
And I've chosen this one just because it, like, really expresses this movie in its entirety. It's high voltage the whole way, and it's, like, look, there are good bits. I did laugh a couple times. Not necessarily at Ryan Reynolds trying to be funny. You know, I thought Gal Gadot overall was the best presence in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt.
No, I agree. I think she at least brought something interesting. It's cool to see her play a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing with The Rock. I don't know about you, but, like, in my mind, like, The Rock feels like a father figure. Or, like, he's basically asexual. So whenever he's, like, obviously,
yes.
Objectively, he's a very handsome man. Obviously, he is a red-blooded, heterosexual man, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. So, like, it makes sense. Like, yeah, he'd make out with someone. But, like, when you see it, you're just, like, father?
Absolutely. Like, you are so right. I wondered why I didn't, like, I thought it was maybe because of sort of, you know, the size difference that I just didn't believe that Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Gal Gadot would be together. But then again, he is The Rock. He is absolutely massive. So he is going to, like, no matter who he's with, there's going to be a huge size difference. And so I thought that was it. But you've just pointed out to me that it is that massive father energy that he has.
Yeah.
That just... you know, ruins it. He can't have sex.
He acts
anyone.
Like
that
your best
work.
Friend's cool dad. So no, I don't want to see him kiss anyone, or I don't want to imagine any of that.
No, it's weird. It's very, very weird. And like, shame, like best to him.
Yeah.
He deserves to be.
He seems to be very happily married, and I wish him well and his wife well.
Yeah, and they're two adorable daughters.
Yes, he's fathered children.
Yeah, but just not on screen, please. Mm-mm. We don't. It's not believable.
I don't know why. I think like it's his own branding undoing him a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, you're so very right. I think the good things about this movie were sort of. I don't.
That's a long pause.
Because I'm like. I'm trying to think of, like, the things that I enjoyed, but, like, there's nothing that I enjoyed about this movie that is particularly unique to this movie. You know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, the planning and the heisty bits, you know, when they go into Rosato Voce's place, or whatever his name is. Like, I was like, that's cool. Oh, wait, no, that's Ocean's 11. Oh, the fight scenes and stuff are that cool. And I was like, wait, no, that's every movie that The Rock has ever been in ever. You know, and so there's nothing unique about this movie, and yet, together, the elements are enjoyable.
They're perfectly Hollywood engineered fine. You know, everything was, I don't know, this whole movie to me, like, everything felt very calculated for, like, safety. Like, lowest common denominator. Like, okay, we're doing a heist movie, we've got these three beloved actors in it. We're gonna have The Rock do his thing, we're gonna have Ryan Reynolds do his thing, we're not gonna take any creative risks here, we're not gonna, like, flip the script, we're gonna do a very nice heist movie. What's the twist? Oh, The Rock and Gal Gadot make out. Like, it just... It felt like a very safe bet. They were like, hey... we want to spend X amount of money and we want this much return on our investment. Here's what we do. And it was...
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. That's exactly it. This is the kind of movie, like, this is the burger of movies.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant and you order a burger because you know no matter where you go, the burger
is
going to be good.
Fine.
It's a burger. It's impossible for, well, it's not impossible for a burger to be bad, but you always know it's going to be a safe bet.
Yeah.
Like, 9 times out of 10, it's going to work out, you're going to enjoy a meal. So that is why you order a burger at the movies.
Yeah.
Or at the movies? At a restaurant. And this, in the same way, you're absolutely right. When you see Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, and The Rock in a movie, you know it's going to be fine, you know it's not going to be exceptional.
Yeah.
So you watch it because it is going to be entertaining. There is going to be nothing wrong with it, but it's not going to be something that you're like... 20 years from now, like, yes, I have to watch this. You have to watch this. This is the best movie of all time from 2021.
Do you know what I suspect this movie was actually released around this time for? Is a lot of Americans are going to visit their families for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You all want to turn on the TV after the game's over. What's safe for everybody to watch? Red Notice. Your mom likes that Rock guy. Your dad likes Ryan Reynolds because you got him to watch Deadpool that one time. Everybody loves Gal Gadot. It's a slam dunk of a movie that's very safe.
Yeah,
and that's
you're absolutely
fine.
Right.
That's totally fine.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's not going to win Best Picture. It's not going to sort of stand the test of time, but it will do. It will do, Pig. It will do.
Yeah.
You know, and they tied these famous actors to it so that you would watch it. Because if, like, literally any other actor did this, you would be like, why would I watch this crap?
Yeah.
Why would I do it?
And I think it's very interesting, actually, that we're reviewing Eternals in the same episode, a movie that did take a lot of creative risks and did ask very hard questions. And it's doing very poorly compared to a stock standard following a template Hollywood movie. And it's very... annoying to me. It's actually very upsetting which of these movies got a better reception.
You're absolutely right, and it is really surprising for the additional fact that there were so many good actors in both of these movies.
Yeah.
I mean, to get Angelina Jolie in a movie for you,
I can only imagine. I assume you have to make, like, a sizable donation to the UN or some shit.
Yes, absolutely. I can imagine getting Angelina Jolie in a movie is like asking Beyonce to play at your birthday party. Yeah. Like, these things are impossible.
Yeah.
And yet, both of these movies had a star-studded cast. Both of these movies had the safety net of Marvel and Netflix. And yet, this cookie-cutter safe-ass movie is doing so much better than something that is elegant and, like you said, thoughtful.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I think the difference also comes in... I give up with humanity. Obviously, Netflix, like, it doesn't cost you anything to watch Netflix. It's something you throw on. You're like, oh, yeah, I might as well check this out. You can't do that with The Eternals. It's not available on streaming yet, so you can't just check it out. People have paid money to see it, and if they're not, like, thoroughly entertained, like they were expecting for a Marvel movie, then they're angry. So I think, like, the medium is also a significant factor.
Yeah, the stakes, the risk to reward benefit, the cost to reward benefit is way lower on Netflix than it is when you go to a cinema. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's such a shame. That is really such a shame. I don't think that normal people, you know, should be allowed to review movies. And I mean, that would be us without a job, but regardless, you know, at least you would have, you know, smart people saying that The Eternals is amazing and then just leaving Red Notice to, you know, fall into the obscurity of time.
Oh, people will forget about it in like a week until Red Notice 2 comes out, I guess.
The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Summer? Oh, again. God. I forgot about Hitman's Bodyguard. This is all that Bodyguard.
Is
again.
Which is actually, you know, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, because Ryan Reynolds is in that. He's also in Red Notice. Who else is in Hitman's Bodyguard? Selma Hayek. Who else is in The Eternals? Selma Hayek. There you go.
And we've come full circle. It all comes
together.
I love Selma Hayek and everything she does. I know that's not news to anyone who has ever listened to the podcast, but I love her. She's one of my Hollywood crushes.
Yeah, and a callback to the top of this episode, also in 30 Rock, also great cameo, wonderful human being.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. So what's your golden nugget for this one?
Oh, I liked the lady Interpol agent. I thought she was the only interesting character.
She was cool.
She was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only wild card, so to speak.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool. Yeah. I think that was cool. I think, you know what? I liked some of the action sequences and things. You know, I really liked, you know, the bazooka going through the helicopter. I thought that was really interesting.
Suitably ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you kind of want, is that ridiculousness. So, would you watch it again?
No. No, I wouldn't. To be honest, I watched it the way it was intended to be watched. I was tipsy. I was eating pizza. You know, Friday pizza night. I fell asleep a little bit halfway through. By the time I woke up, I still knew what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's easy. It's just so easy. Yeah, I agree. I mean, fuck, I might watch it again with my parents for the exact reason that you said. Like, you know, it's just so easy. It might be just being like a fucking default where it's like, you know, we've spent half an hour trying to choose something to watch. And I'm just like, fuck this, fuck you. We're just Red Notice. And that's all that really is to say about it, really.
Yeah.
I think. So, Simone, since it's the November wrap-up, how was your November?
It is pretty frantic in November, I'm not gonna lie. Like, work-wise, everybody's just, like, trying to get everything done before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But November was good overall. I started a new hobby.
Yeah.
It's getting warmer. The days start earlier and earlier, which, like, I love because, as you know, I'm an early morning person, so I just feel like I have so much time.
Absolutely. That it makes a huge difference, it really doesn't does. It? I mean, you know, like you said at the beginning, it's our sad girl autumn over here, so, you know, it's dark in the mornings. So dark. It's dark by 5 p.m. here, and it's like, I get so sleepy at 6, and I'm just like, oh, it's bedtime. Oh, wait, I'm an adult, and it's 6 p.m. Like, I shouldn't be going to bed at this time.
Yeah, I sleep so late in winter as well. I'm not usually a late sleeper, but in winter I'm just like, but it's still dark.
And it's cold. It's cold. Do you know how warm my bed is? My bed is so warm. Oh,
if my electric blanket's on, no fucking way I'm getting out.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, some days I really debate whether getting up and having the ability to use 2 screens for work is worth sort of maybe staying in bed and just having my shitty little laptop screen.
Yeah, some days I do work from bed.
Goddamn. Yeah, goddamn. That second monitor makes a huge difference, but so does warm bed vibes.
No, I know that feeling. How was your November?
Yeah, my November has been also fully manic as well, in terms of work, but it's been really good. I'm settling into my new apartment. Yay. It's really beautiful. We're getting into a schedule of things, you know, so I'm really happy. You know, I can officially probably say that my place is not haunted, so that's nice.
Lovely.
That's a good win, which is, I'm very happy about. And yeah, I can't believe how fast this year has gone by, Simone. I know, you know, like, it's such an old person thing to say, but Jesus Christ.
Yep, the years start coming and they don't stop coming.
Damn it, All-Star. How dare you be so accurate in your philosophies?
How did you know?
So what is your gratitude for this week then?
My gratitude for this week. Oh, Chad, I tried a new pizza place last night. Usually I'm very hesitant to
Huge
do this
because
as you know, I'm a big
yes.
snob.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently disappointed. But I was like, I saw this place on Instagram. I was like, it looks so good. We mm-hmm. went, it's like dodgy. It's like next to the railroad tracks. But we were like, let's do
oh
it.
Oh my God.
Chad, it has been so long since I tried a new place and their pizza was phenomenal. Uh-huh. It was so good.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. So I will be writing
so
that pie for the next week.
Oh, I'm so glad. And now you've got a new pizza place. Mm-hmm. So you can just like vary it up. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
What pizza did you have?
I had a puttanesca pizza. So it's like all the salt.
Wow. Okay.
Olives, capers, anchovies, chili oil.
Jesus Christ.
And then they put like some fresh tomato on there as well as like the mm-hmm. sauce. So like it had that little like pops of sweetness, which like something that salty really
yeah.
needs.
Yes.
And it was just a delightful, they had a wood-fired oven, the dough, you could tell
oh,
that they'd
amazing.
Proofed it for a while because it had that lovely like sourdoughy texture, like everything I want from a pizza, that pizza had.
That sounds exceptional.
I was thrilled. It was like a little pricey, but like, you know, it's worth the money.
Worth it. That's fantastic. You know, like I said, I haven't had lunch and obviously this beer is going through me and I'm just like very salivating for pizza right now.
Yeah.
You've
so
ruined
sorry.
Me for this evening.
Order a pizza, Chad.
I might have to now. You might have done this.
Are there like cool places to eat around your apartment or what's the vibe?
Not that I've experienced. To be fair, you know, there isn't really any sort of good standalone non-big corporation pizza places
okay.
in the UK. It's mainly either Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, that kind of thing.
That's
There's
so
no
sad.
Like sort of individual. I know, right? It's maybe I'm wrong. Hey, listen, if there are any UK listeners out there who know like a banging pizza place in the southwest of the UK, holla. I'm
He'll
very
do it.
Willing to
He'll
drive,
drive
far for pizza. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of that. So yeah, so I might just get like Domino's.
Mm.
I might just make my own, to be fair, you know. It's always an idea.
Might as well.
Exactly. My gratitude for this week is service workers. God damn it.
God, the devil works hard, but service workers work harder.
Fucking hell. You guys are amazing. And honestly, society would just fall to an absolute disarray without you guys. I mean, I went and I got my haircut today, and I was just thinking about it while I was sitting there, and I was just like, God damn, if these guys weren't around, what would I do for a haircut? Like, I don't know how to cut hair. I wouldn't be able to cut my hair well. It's just a thing. There is so much out there that I just do not know how to do. And I'm so happy that some people are just like, I will fall on that sword for other people. You're welcome. And you know what? Standing ovation every time.
I remember the 1 year. I worked in the service industry a couple times, different mm-hmm. times. But the one time I was working over Christmas at a hotel.
Oh my God.
And, like, people are really nice. I understand this, like, impulse, right? That, like, I was going around Christmas Eve. We give, like, chocolates to all the guests. So I was just, like, walking around
oh,
to the
lovely.
Different rooms. And they're like, you shouldn't be working. It's Christmas. And I was like, and yet you are staying at a hotel which requires staff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Here I am.
How does this work for you?
Take
what is your logic
your
here?
Fucking
yeah.
chocolate. Yes, I am sad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And like the intention's good.
Yeah.
The logic and, you know, it's kind of rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like PSA with service workers, like obviously just be like, thanks so much for like working over, like, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you. That's great. But don't be like, you shouldn't be working now because they'll be like, I fucking mm-hmm. know. If I didn't
yeah,
have to,
absolutely.
I wouldn't.
Exactly. And guys, don't be stingy on tips.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like, not even just around Christmas time, just whatever you were gonna give as a tip, if you can, obviously, totally understand, not everyone is in the financial position to do so, but whatever you were gonna give as a tip, add another 2%,
yeah.
5% if you can, because god damn it, they deserve that 5%.
They really do.
You know, It's not a good job, you guys. It's not a good job.
You're dealing
it's
with the awful. Worst of humanity.
Exactly. So please, guys, just think of yourself. Think of your service industry people. Like, they are truly the only people who go to heaven. Everyone else is.
We're all going to hell.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you had an amazing November. Tell us if there was anything particularly outstanding about your Novembers.
Did you want to tell them what movies we're doing next week?
Oh, I forgot about that. I did completely forget about that. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Let's back it up a bit. So, Simone, what are we going to do next week?
Chad, I thought next week we could start off with just like baseline Christmas movies. Like,
okay, all right.
Nothing fancy, no real theme besides Christmas. Like, I think we just need to like slide into it.
So, I like it. Yeah.
I have chosen for us A Castle for Christmas.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
And Christmas with a View.
I feel like I've heard of that one before.
I hope you have, and if you haven't, guess what? They're going to be some really good ones.
I'm very excited. You know what? I love it when you always pick the first week of Christmas, because it just feels like home to me. It's just one of those things, like, you always get so excited about Christmas, and it just makes me so happy. I mean, are you getting into the Christmas spirit? Like, how are you feeling?
I am so into the Christmas spirit. I want to cry. And my sister is making fun of me because she's like, oh, it's November, sis. Like, what are you doing? And as she said that, Mariah Carey started playing on, on the speaker of the store. And, you know, my sister, being all surly about Christmas, her little shoulders were jiving. She's singing along a little bit.
She's not allowed to do that.
Yeah. And no, I was sister, the Christmas spirit, doop, 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 creeping up on you?
Yeah, it's here. It's here. You'll blink and it'll be here, guys.
I'm so excited. I'm going to make, I've told my colleagues I'm going to make Christmas cookie boxes for everybody.
Cute.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy.
That's so wonderful. It is the Christmas spirit. Like, I'm feeling it now. Sort of Christmas lights are starting to go up in all the major cities and stuff. Oh, it's the best. It's getting a bit colder. It's like, it's quite nippy now. And it's just that, there is that feeling, that anticipation in the air that's just like, oh, it's coming. It's coming, y'all.
I love it.
I'm very excited.
I live in like quite a bougie neighborhood. So like our local shopping center has like, it's getting all their Christmas stuff up. And sometimes violinists come and play Christmas songs in the middle of the center.
That's so lovely.
It's so nice. And they have a post box for letters to Santa that the kids can send.
Oh my God. That's so great. Oh, how wonderful. Guys, this is your first warning that Christmas is coming. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping or haven't even started your Christmas shopping, guys, fucking pick it up. Like, guys, come on. This is warning number one. We will warn you every week, but Jesus, like, just move it. Move it, move it, move it. Because this is where things sort of, like, increase in price very slowly. This is where things, like, start to run out and people start to panic buy. Do not let your partner, your significant other, go without the perfect Christmas gift this year. Make it thoughtful. Even make it yourself. Those are always the gifts that do well. I love making things myself for my significant other. It's always fun.
I'm bad at making things, so I don't do that. But I like the sentiment.
Oh, I completely. I've got a very white man, middle-aged white man attitude towards making things. I always think I am better than
I am. How hard could it be?
You know what I do? Yeah, yeah.
I pay money for it when I could just do it myself.
I could just do it myself. I wrote Georgette a book last Christmas.
You are such a romantic.
I know. It was a 40-page book. It was exhausting to write. A4 pages as well. And I bound it and everything myself. It was one of the most harrowing experiences of my life.
Wow. Good Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And wait till you see this year's Christmas present.
How are you going to top that, Chad?
Oh, I've basically stolen the pyramids.
Ah, excellent. Well done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I think I might just die next year. And then, I just avoid that issue completely.
I think that's the only option, truly.
Yeah, there's no coming back from here. I started too high. And it's only downhill from here. Well, guys, sorry, Simone, have I forgotten anything
else? No, we're good. You can wrap up. Okay.
Thank you. Can I just say thank you for being like the comptroller and like making sure like we're on track?
It's fine. Like, you know what? We take turns doing that because I forget shit sometimes. Thank you. Forget shit sometimes. We're fine.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, back to it. See you on the other side. All right, thank guys. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. What are you doing? How was your Novembers? Please do tell us how things were in this November. Are you getting ready for the Christmas spirit? Are you feeling it? Tell us your Christmas stories. Tell us your best gifts that you've received. Tell us your best gifts that you've given. What are you doing over the Christmas period? And where can they do that, Simone?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP, and they can email us at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com.
There you have it. And as we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye! Bye.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. This isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R, now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.